You're listening to the Spark Radio Network, internet radio like you've never heard before. Innovation, creativity, and imagination are all said to begin with a spark. So fasten your seatbelt and take the ride of your life and listen for the spark.
You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Most writers and radio show hosts know that to connect with your fans, you need to do more than just write books or record the latest podcasts. There are many different elements that go into forming an online platform, but there are also many hidden traps. To make matters worse, solid advice on how to survive the muddy waters is scarce. In the book Hidden Traps, I talk about some of the important issues of working with an online platform, highlighting traps that could put your physical or internet security at risk or be harmful to your reputation. Are your social media posts just links with a few disjointed words, making you look like someone who can't complete a sentence? Did your new website cost you more than you anticipated? Are you leaking your personal contact details across the web without even knowing it? Then you need Hidden Traps. Hidden Traps is now available in paperback and ebook from a variety of retailers, including Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Kobo. Visit blackwolfpublications.com for more details.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-553-8687. That's 800-553-8687. Again, 800-553-8687.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm, but even then he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq, Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now. 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Sometimes writers feel lost, unsure why a passage may not be working. takes another set of eyes to help us nurture our writing into full maturity. At Black Wolf Editorial Services, we strive to enable writers to develop and grow, offering manuscript critiques and line edits through a mentoring editorial style. We also offer assistance on generating a writer's bio for your websites. Black Wolf Editorial Services, nurturing your writing into maturity. For a full list of services, visit blackwolfeditorial.com.
American way, and we built this country called the USA, and we fly our flag cause we're proud and free, we're Americans. Red, white, and blue is our way of life, never back down from a challenge or a fight, nature provides, God gives the rights, we're Americans. We fish the waters and we hunt the lands, we forge the steel with our own two hands, with what we've got, we do the best we can, we're Americans.
This is Rio of Madison Rising, and you're listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
It's time now for the Conservative Curmudgeon Radio Show. Now, here's Grouchy.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back. It is a pleasure to be here with you again. Excuse me. All right. So before we get rolling tonight, I just want to remind you, coming up next, after this program, you will hear, what will they hear? You'll hear Jesse's POV.
Yeah, that's what you'll hear.
Yeah, followed POV, by the Stafford voice.
Actually, Stafford is on hiatus right now, or he's using a platform that we no longer have access to. We haven't been able to figure that out because he hasn't been sending us files. So,
okay. Well, there's always that fun. So I don't know what you'll be listening to after Jesse's POV. You'll be listening to something, though. Undoubtedly. So anyway, that's coming up next. Coming up now, before we get rolling into the program, we'll check out some of the other news that's going on around in the world today. What's happening? Well, Rex Tillerson is out at Secretary of State. The Captain Kangaroo show is over. And apparently Mike Pompeo, the head of the CIA, has been dubbed as the heir apparent. And already getting resistance on this pick. Rand Paul has come out against Pompeo and against Pompeo's replacement at CIA. So, I haven't read all the details yet, but I'm sure we'll get into Senator Paul's point of view sooner or later. Anyway, that'll be fun to watch. More confirmation hearings, because we don't have enough of those just sitting on the pine already waiting to take place still. And let's see, what else is going on? Today was National Walkout Day. This is a huge scam. I know that a local school here to me made it compulsory for students to participate, and they did so by quote-unquote conducting a fire drill 2 minutes before the walkout was supposed to start, and then kept everybody outside for the duration of the walkout. You know, and then they were dumb enough to admit that they did this. So whatever, you know, stupid schools doing stupid things for stupid reasons. Look, there's nothing wrong with mourning and even protesting what happened down in Parkland. There's not. But there's a time and place for it. And our kids are suffering enough in the world of education. The last thing they need to do is take more time away from it. Anyway, what else is going on in the world? Stephen Hawking has passed. Brilliant, brilliant man, genius beyond what the average person or even the above average person can comprehend. One of the longest known survivors of ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease ever. I think there were two or three other cases that might have made it as long as him. the next longest known survivor, as I read today, is coming up on 38 years with ALS, and he is a Canadian man. So that Hawking lived with ALS for over 50 years, considering only 5% of ALS patients make it beyond 20 years, was a miracle in itself. A great mind has been lost to us, without a doubt. Okay, let's see. From across the pond, I'm including this not because of me personally, but because I know there are people out there that they love keeping up with the royal family. So for the upcoming nuptials of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, excuse me, they're getting their own wedding beer. Yeah, their own wedding beer. Windsor Knot is being released from the Windsor and Eaton Brewery, which is actually just literally a short pub crawl from St. George's Cathedral, where the wedding will take place. So it's kind of fitting that that's where it would come from. They've done the bottle up so that it has basically what appears to be a tie of the British flag and the American flag together around the rest of the labeling. They've used both British and American hops in it. They've gone out of their way to do this marrying of flavors, if you will, for this wedding beer. So anyway, if you know somebody in London, it's going to be a limited release, and it'll only be available between now and a couple days after the wedding. All right, so what else? Let's see. Oh, yeah. Okay. By now, you've probably heard the story about United Airlines forcing the family to put their dog in the overhead bin, and the dog died during the flight. Well, today, United stepped in it again after trying to redeem themselves yesterday, and we'll talk about the redemption in just a second, but they stepped in it again today with another family's pet. This family was actually in the process of moving from Oregon to Kansas and had their pet in a carrier to go on the plane so that they could take it with them. And United sent their pet to Japan instead of Kansas. I mean, I can understand, right? It's confusing. They're right next to each other. I mean, but anyway, the news is not all bad for United. Unfortunately, their redemption part doesn't have anything to do with the pets, even though they are taking full responsibility for the deceased pet and the return of the flown pet to the wrong destination. But you probably heard about the horrific bus crash in Alabama, where the Texas school was on their way back home from Disney World. The bus driver crashed and he was killed instantly. And several of the kids are in serious condition. To get these families reunited, United actually stepped forward and gave the families plane seats to get them into the area and then back home to Houston again, or the Houston area. And I thought that was pretty stand up of them. Also, a lot of local schools here in the area doing on the spot fundraisers, trying to raise money, getting gas cards and such like that. Food, local church put the kids up that were temporarily displaced. Now I think everybody has been reunited with family by now, and just a great outpouring from the extreme western panhandle of Florida and the extreme southern tip of Alabama. Big thank you out to my peeps, because that's where I'm at, right here where it happened. So anyway, that's what's going on around the world that we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on. Some of the things we are going to spend some time on, we're going to talk about crazy Meemaw Clinton. Yeah, you know, she's still at it. She's absolutely still at it. Flyover country rejected her. Even a lot of coastal leftists are just completely washed their hands of her. The media is, I mean, they're not really ignoring her. I think she's ignoring them as much as they're ignoring her. So there's just not a lot of Meemaw Clinton in our national news. But she decided to find the one place where she might somehow remain relevant. India. So this is what you would call the next chapter, the latest chapter in her Endless Loser tour, a spectacle which is sad and amusing to watch. So unwilling to leave the stage, even as Democrats plead for her to do so, and unable to gain sympathy or traction in the U.S. for her ever-lengthening list of excuses for the most embarrassing defeat in modern political history, none of which involve her, by the way. You know, she takes responsibility, but none of it's her fault. Because that's how she rolls. So Hillary apparently concluded that faraway India might be a more hospitable climate than, say, Michigan or Pennsylvania or, you know, how about someplace she didn't go, Wisconsin? Anyway, she reached India and she eschewed the soaring globalist rhetoric and went straight to the gutter. That's the best way she can do it. Yeah, exactly. Her little lie meter. She found a way, as only she can, to infuriate both men and women at the same time with her personal analysis of why a majority of white women voted for Donald Trump. And to be fair, and I want to be fair to Hillary, to be fair, this is not the first time that she's made this claim. So she's actually doubling down on a previous claim. She blamed women for surrendering to, quote, ongoing pressure to vote the way that your husband, your boss, your son, or whoever believes you should. So, you know, wow. I'm woman, hear me roar, unless a man says I shouldn't. I'm sure women appreciate being labeled. Yeah, I'm sure that women appreciate being labeled as captives of their men, even in the privacy of the voting booth. This is what Hillary thinks is the strong women of America. So only if you voted for her are you smart and intelligent. Otherwise, you have to be cave woman. So this bitter old hag has managed to add this now to her other remarks, such as basket of deplorables. And again, this was a double down. She has made this assertion before, or assertion, I should say, assertion. No, make an assertion of myself. But anyway, and you know, it's gonna sting. It is, because this has been picked up by the media. Now, I think a lot of media is covering it for her as much as they can, but it's done. It's out there. But you know, and this isn't all. You know, she didn't embarrass herself thoroughly enough doing this. You know, it just, she had to give us one more display after making these ridiculous comments. So she's walking down these nice stone steps. They're old. You can tell they're old. But she does the double Meemaw slip and slide almost busting it. She was saved by two men that were on her sides, and did this twice going down this flight of stairs, not just once. But I'm betting that if you watch that video in super slow-mo, you'll see Trump supporters reaching up from under the stairs, tripping her. No. No, you won't. So anyway, once she recovered from her perilous journey down the steps, she indulged herself with a broad array of acid-tongued remarks, claiming Trump is, what else, a racist, sexist, misogynist, calling out the president from the safe distance of thousands of miles away. You know, you didn't like black people getting rights. You don't like women, you know, getting jobs. You don't want, you know, to see that Indian American succeeding more than you are. So, you know, that was her comment. That was her comment. I should have said quote, but I forgot to. But it's quote, you know, you don't like black people getting rights. You don't like women, you know, getting jobs. You don't want, you know, to see that American Indian or Indian American succeeding more than you are. End quote. She is completely unhinged. There has got to be at least the same level of brain cell degeneration that goes on in these classic narcissist types. And I'm not saying that somebody else isn't a classic narcissist either, but she definitely is one. And she's showing it. So, you know, basically, if there was ever anything as a reverse Midas touch, where it gets turned into basically raw human sewage, this would be the Hillary touch. And that's, you know, that's where she's at right now. That's her state of mind. That's her state of being. Over a year after the election, she still cannot handle it. Still. All right. So anyway, moving on from Meemaw, the House Intelligence Committee on Monday released a statement saying that the panel has concluded its interviews and that it found no evidence of collusion with Russia during the election. This is per Representative Mike Conway, the Texas Republican who was leading the Russia investigation for the House Intelligence Committee. He said, "We have found no evidence of collusion, and so we found perhaps some bad judgment, inappropriate things," Conway said. "But we found no evidence of any collusion or anything people were actually doing other than taking a meeting they shouldn't have or just inadvertently being in the same building." The year-long investigation was one of three on Capitol Hill looking into whether members of the Trump campaign colluded with Russians during the 2016 election. Trump has repeatedly denied any collusion. Conway said Republicans will confer with Democrats and move forward on putting together a report on its findings. His quote was, "We will now be moving into the next phase of this investigation, working with the minority on a report to give the American people answers to the questions they've been asking for over a year. With the 2018 primary elections already underway and just 238 days until the midterm elections in November, it's important that we give the American people the information they need to arm themselves against Russian attempts to influence our elections." You know, there's something else that we could use government to do, too, and that's to shut the hell up sometimes. Now, it's not a secret that the Russians were trying to influence our elections. This is not the first time they've tried to influence our elections. Now, their technology is becoming more and more advanced, and they're finding different ways of doing it. But let's not kid ourselves. The Russians have been trying to influence our elections for decades. Democrats are reportedly not consoled with the findings And some have said there are still witnesses to be interviewed. This is according to CNN. We know how reliable they are. Let's see. There are a number of Adam Schiff, yeah, because he's been rocking it lately in credibility, said there are a number of steps that I think any credible investigator would say these need to be done, and we still hope that they will be. Now, he said that last week after the committee interviewed former Trump campaign manager Corey Lewandowski. Schiff, according to CNN, had not been told as of mid-Monday that Republicans plan to end the witness portion of the Russia investigation, per Schiff. Schiff is the top Democrat on the committee, and he's pushed for the House panel to issue subpoenas for Lewandowski and outgoing White House Communications Director Hope Hicks after the pair did not answer several questions about their time in the White House. Republicans, though, did not follow through. Conaway said that the committee conducted 73 interviews, reviewed over 300,000 documents, and held 9 hearings and briefings. We are confident that we have thoroughly investigated the agreed-upon parameters and developed reliable initial findings and recommendations. Now, all this is just perfectly fine in the House. The Senate Intelligence and Senate Judiciary Committees are still investigating any ties that may be. So we got that going on still. It's like nobody wants to end this thing. They all want it for ammunition for when the time is right, and I'm getting sick of the political games. I really, really am. It's just not that hard. Just investigate what you need to investigate and share your findings and then close the matter. It's that simple. It really is. So, anyway... we're coming up at the bottom of the hour here, so this is a good spot. We'll go ahead and take our commercial break. When we come back, we'll do a little continuation on this. We'll delve more into the Mueller side of the investigation, and we've got a couple other stories lined up behind that too, so do yourself a favor, stay tuned. We'll be back in about 3 or 4.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm, but even then he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq, Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now. 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
All right, welcome back. Let's get it in gear. So, special counsel Robert Mueller is still conducting his investigation into whether Trump obstructed justice. Is said to be close to completion on this investigation, but he said he may set it aside while he finishes other key parts of his probe, such as possible collusion and the hacking of Democrats, according to current and former U.S. officials. Now, Mueller may be trying to calculate that if he tries to bring charges in the obstruction case, the part that may hit closest to Trump personally, witnesses may become less cooperative in other parts of the probe, or the president may move to shut it down altogether. So this is the thinking, I don't know, strategists think this way, conspiracy theorists think this way, but it's not unreasonable to think that there might be some kind of conspiracy either. So who knows, because these people in D.C., career or not, are basically just so corrupt and wrought with the filth that's up there that you don't ever know who you can and can't trust. You know, it's not like politics used to be, which is sad. You know, go there, do your job, and go home. So the revelation is a peek into Mueller's calculations as he proceeds with his many-headed probe. Yeah, I know, that sounds bad. While pressure builds from the president's advisors and other Republicans to show progress or wrap it up. Now, the obstruction portion of the probe could likely be completed after several key outstanding interviews, including with the president and his son, Donald Trump Jr. The president's lawyers have been negotiating with Mueller's team over such an encounter since late last year, but even if Trump testifies in the coming weeks, Mueller may make a strategic calculation to keep his findings on obstruction secret. And that's according to current and former U.S. officials who discussed the strategy on condition of anonymity. Of course, because we all love being anonymous and shooting our mouths off for fame, right? I mean, yeah, you know, whatever. So any clear outcome of the obstruction inquiry could be used against Mueller. Filing charges against Trump or his family could prompt the president to take action to fire him. Publicly clearing Trump of obstruction charges, as the president's lawyers have requested, could be used by his allies to build pressure for the broader investigation to be shut down. So, I mean, basically, we're in a cat and mouse kind of game here, where just dragging this out and keeping it a secret is what they want to do. We kind of saw some of that secretive stuff backfire, trying to work against Trump back in the election cycle. If you remember Hillary's email server business, they were definitely trying to stack the deck against Trump. and that didn't work out so well. Now, that doesn't mean it won't this time. I'm just saying it didn't in the past. So anyway, other key matters under investigation by Mueller's team, with its 17 career prosecutors, include whether Trump or any of his associates helped Russia meddle in the 2016 campaign. Mueller is also expected to indict some of those responsible for hacking the DNC before the election and publicly leaking stolen material in an effort to hurt Hillary Clinton. Now, let's just stop here for a minute, okay? Let's look at everybody we know of that had something to do with Trump's campaign. Do you really think for a minute that there is anybody on that team smart enough to think to help Russia hack the Democrats and leak the information to hurt Hillary? Do we really think there's somebody that smart on the Trump election team? Because if you do, and you think it goes all the way to Trump, what you're saying is that he's a freaking genius. Okay, just play a little devil's advocate with me here. So, he's either an idiot, like everybody claims, or he's this brilliant, genius, evil mastermind that knows about computer hacking and getting it all done so that it looks like he had nothing to do with it. Come on. Really? You can't have it both ways. That's what I'm getting at. It's one or the other. Now, the timing for whether and when to interview Trump or his family members is one of the most sensitive decisions Mueller faces at this stage of his investigation. The special counsel's office declined to comment for this story. Now, on the other side, we've got Trump, who has branded the probe a witch hunt and is growing increasingly frustrated as Mueller's work continues. And the president's lawyers have signaled that they expect the investigation to wrap up quickly. So, recent reports provide a glimpse into how expansive and aggressive Mueller's investigation is. The New York Times and Washington Post, for example, suggest Mueller's team recently began probing efforts by the UAE to influence the Trump team, including a meeting the Gulf Kingdom apparently helped organize in the Seychelles, where an informal Trump advisor also met with a Russian banker. I mean, you know, come on. We're stretching it pretty far here. An informal advisor? I mean, got to do what you got to do, but anyway. So the Post also reported that Mueller has been asking about several Russia-related incidents involving longtime Trump lawyer Michael Cohen, including his role in trying to help the Trump organization build a tower in Moscow in 2015. Now, when it comes to the obstruction side of the investigation, Mueller is said to be focused on three main episodes: Trump's firing of FBI Director James Comey last May, which you can throw that in the toilet and flush it. That's going nowhere. Any of those positions like that serve at the behest of the president, and he can terminate those positions at will. That's the end of it. Next up would be the drafting of a misleading statement about the purpose of a June 2016 meeting between Donald Jr., Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner, and a group of Russians at Trump Tower, and the disclosure that Trump considered firing Mueller last June. Again, within his purview, as president, so you can flush that too. So the only thing they really have going that they could possibly get anywhere with, and I'm saying possibly, is the meeting at Trump Tower with the Russians. So we'll see what happens with that. Mueller's team of FBI agents and prosecutors has already interviewed people who could provide firsthand knowledge of possible obstruction of justice, including Comey, Attorney General Jeff Sessions, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats, and National Security Agency Director Michael Rogers. Mueller has also turned Trump's former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn into a cooperating witness. He has interviewed more than four dozen White House and campaign aides and requested more than 1.4 million pages of documents, according to Trump's lawyers. Kushner spoke to Mueller early on in the investigation for a limited interview, while Trump Jr. and Ivanka Trump, the president's daughter, who is also an advisor, have yet to be interviewed. And that's according to a person inside the investigation. Again, I hate the anonymous thing. Either shut your mouth about it or be credible. And if you're credible, you don't mind putting your name behind your information. So there's also no indication that Mueller has yet interviewed Trump's former bodyguard, Keith Schiller, who was at Trump's side on a trip to Moscow during each day of the campaign and his presidency until he resigned over the summer. When Trump moved to fire Comey, Schiller hand-delivered the note to the FBI. So the three main episodes Mueller is investigating on a potential obstruction of justice. One focus for Mueller is a rainy weekend that Trump and top aides spent holed up at the Trump National Golf Club in Bedminster, New Jersey, shortly before Comey was fired. Again, doesn't matter if he fired Comey. It doesn't matter who he talked to about firing Comey. He's well within his purview as president to fire the FBI director at will. Trump stayed out of public view the entire weekend, while the White House released little information about his activities except to say that he had meetings and calls. It's clear Trump and his advisors were discussing Comey's fate, according to the report. But this is, the media's report. So, obviously, if there are no documents and no one has come forward to confirm as much, it's not obvious that Trump and his advisors were discussing Comey's fate. It's alleged or supposed, but it's not obvious. Now, traveling with Trump that weekend was then Deputy National Security Advisor KT McFarland, Flynn ally, Senior Advisor Stephen Miller, then White House Communications Director Hope Hicks, and Social Media Director Dan Scavino. Kushner was there along with Ivanka. So that Sunday morning in Bedminster, Trump publicly aired his frustrations on the Russia probe, tweeting, "Why did the Obama administration start an investigation into the Trump campaign with zero proof of wrongdoing long before the election in November? Wanted to discredit so Crooked H could win. Unprecedented, bigger than Watergate, plus Obama did nothing about Russian meddling." Now, he is right about that, okay? Look, I'm not a huge fan of the way the man uses social media, okay? But this is a man that's going to be 72 years old this summer. He's not changing for anybody. Get used to it. Like it, don't like it, just get used to it. Because that's what we're stuck with. Okay? So, but he is right in that if this was known, if the Obama administration launched an investigation into the Trump campaign before the election, why didn't they do something about the Russian meddling with the election? It's a fair question. And I think one that deserves an answer.
My bad.
I'm sorry,
bad.
What? Yeah. Yeah. It's like hair just showed up on Broadway or something. That's okay, though. I like it. Keeps me on my toes. So late that Sunday, Trump flew back to Washington with staff and his daughter and son-in-law. After landing at Andrews Air Force Base, spent more than 40 minutes on the tarmac before deplaning, which they consider an unusually long time. When he did exit Air Force One, Kushner told reporters everything is good, he was working on something. Less than 12 hours later, Trump woke the next morning and began venting again about the investigation. He wrote 6 Twitter posts attacking the probe, 3 of them aimed at former Attorney General Sally Yates, or acting Attorney General Sally Yates. The Russian Trump collusion story is a total hoax. When will this taxpayer-funded charade end? Trump fired Comey the next day. Okay, so was it obvious? Why did he wait until Tuesday instead of just doing it on Monday? If it was dead set in stone that that's what they had discussed over the weekend, why wouldn't you just come home and do it? He doesn't seem like the kind of guy to pull frilly punches like that. You know, he gets chastised for being as blunt as a billy goat. But then if he does something tactful, that's evidence of collusion or meddling or something along that line. Come on, let's get real here. Again, it goes back to, is the man an evil mad genius or is he a buffoon? You can't have it both ways. So Mueller has also been prodding witnesses about the crafting of the misleading statement of Donald Jr. to the New York Times concerning the meeting with Russians at Trump Tower in Manhattan. Mueller interviewed the former spokesman for Trump's legal team, Mark Corallo, after the release of author Michael Wolff's book, Fire and Fury, which said Corallo believed the crafting of the statement could amount to obstruction of justice. So, okay, yeah, we're back to the meeting here. So this is where I said they would have their best shot at trying to come up with something. So the statement crafted aboard Air Force One by Trump, Hicks and Kushner spokesman Josh Raffel, and relayed to Trump Jr., portrayed the meeting as being mostly about Russian adoptions. Emails later released by Trump Jr. showed an organizer told him the Russians would produce damaging information on Clinton. The White House has said of the statement that Trump weighed in as any father would based on the limited information that he had while on a return trip from Germany. Corallo told investigators that in a phone call with Hicks and Trump raising concern about the statement, Hicks insisted the emails would never get out, which Corallo found deeply naive, according to a person familiar with the investigation, again, with the anonymous junk I hate. Fix that, Seymour. Quit using anonymous so much. So, anyway, the third main area Mueller is probing for potential obstruction involves Trump's desire to fire Mueller. Again, this is a big nothing burger, and it's not going anywhere. Trump became enraged with Attorney General Sessions when he recused himself from anything to do with the Russia investigation, a decision that continues to rankle the president to this very day. And you know what? Rightly so. Rightly so. There is a way Sessions could be involved in this and still remain above board, but he chose to wash his hands of it, which, you know, it is commendable that he is considering, you know, the honor of the position and all that stuff like that. But again, there's a way he could have done this and done it the right way and kept it all above board. It says Trump wanted to fire Mueller in June. 3 people familiar with the matter said more anonymous crap, raising concern among his top aides and closest supporters that Trump would put himself in legal jeopardy. He ultimately relented after White House counsel Don McGahn refused to carry out the order and made clear he'd resign rather than acquiesce. So, that's where the Mueller investigation is right now. Now, you want to get something that matters a little bit more to me than what Mueller's doing? In February, the federal government ran a deficit of $215.248 billion. That's huge. That's a deficit. They took in $155.623 billion in taxes and spent $370.871 billion, according to the Treasury statement. The deficit was the largest the federal government has run in February in 5 years, when the monthly deficits are compared in constant 2018 dollars adjusted using the Bureau of Labor Statistics inflation calculator. Now, the monthly deficit was 11 and a quarter times more than the 19.095 billion drop in taxes the American people saw in February compared, or February 2018 compared to February 2017. The last time the February deficit exceeded $215 billion was in 2013 when Barack Obama was president. That year it hit $217.304 billion in constant January 2018 dollars. Now, I know it's hard to keep up with this stuff, but numbers are numbers and they don't lie. So, in fact, the February monthly deficit exceeded this year's total of $215.248 billion in 5 of the 8 years Obama was in office. So, you know, that was the case in 09, 10, 11, 12, and 13. The federal government collected $19.1 billion less in taxes in February of this year than it did in February of 2017. Now, $19 billion wouldn't have filled the gap, but it would have closed it a little bit. February was the second month that the tax cut signed in December by President Trump was in effect. In January, the first month the Trump tax cut was in effect, the federal government ran a surplus of $49.237 billion. At the same time, the federal government was collecting $19.1 billion less in taxes in February than it did the previous year. It was also running a February deficit. That was $19.842 billion larger than the deficit it ran in the previous year. Now, in February 2017, the federal government collected $174.718 billion in total taxes, which was $19.1 billion more than the $155.6 billion in total taxes collected this February. So you see there is some difference here. The federal government is getting less money. The difference is they're still spending like they're not getting less money. This is where Senator Rand Paul has it right. We have got to cut the spending. So this year's taxing and spending in February resulted in a deficit of $215.248 billion for the month. Last year's taxing and spending in February resulted in a deficit of $195.4 billion. That made this year's deficit $19.8 billion larger than last year's. And what was that difference on the taxes was $19.1 billion. So $700 million difference. Year to year over with the adjustment for tax differential intake. So, yeah, I know this stuff gets kind of boring and dry, but man, you got to know what your government is doing with your money. And it is your money. It's my money. It's your money. It's our money. And they're doing this with it. So the February deficit first broke $100 million in 2002. I think they mean billion, $100 billion. Anyway, back in 2002. So far in 2018, the fiscal year 2018, which began on October 1st, the federal government has taken a total, and they have taken it. Let's see, that's hundreds, thousands, millions, but 1.2861, that's $1.2861 trillion in tax revenues, while spending $1.6771 trillion and running a deficit of $390 billion. Now, as you know, February is the shortest month of the year. In 3 out of the 4 years, it has 28 days. In the fourth year, again, we get the 29th day for leap year. So in 2017 and 2018, there were only 28 days, yada, yada, yada. We know that. Okay. So anyway, there we are, February money. The government is spending wildly out of control, wildly out of control. You don't have to take my word for it. You can do your own research. I encourage you to do so. We are coming up at the top of the hour. It's just about time to call it a show. A reminder that Jesse's POV is coming up right after this. Let's see, what else? What else? As always, if you like the show, tell your friends. If your friends like the show, you probably need new ones, but they and you are welcome every week right here with me on KLRN Radio for another exciting episode of the Conservative Curmudgeon Radio Show. I am the Grouch, your host with the most. Thank you and God bless.
I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work. I've been here for 7 years.